And Jesus, we love you so and pray this in your name. Amen. All righty. Well, if you got your Bibles, go to Galatians 5 ahead of me. As usual, when Jeff and Karen are in the sound booth, we've got issues today. It's not Jeff and Karen's problem. We'll blame it on the devil. But that's why we're in church. We're going to worship Jesus and make sure the devil knows he can't stop us. Amen? So we're recording, Karen? Okay, thank you. So I'm going to be communicating with Karen back and forth because we can't quite get the PowerPoints to work, and that's okay. We're going to work with each other. We're going to get it done. List. I hate lists, typically. Historically, I haven't liked lists. Some of you think, I love lists, but I haven't always liked lists. I know where it started to. The first thing that comes to mind, I think of the word list. I think of when I would come home from school to get off the bus. My mom was a working mom, plus going to college at the same time I was in high school, grade school, whatever. As a matter of fact, it's kind of funny that in a two-year period, my mom, my dad, and myself all graduated from some type of education. And so anyway, when I was growing up, I would come home, get off the school bus. If I wasn't at football practice, track practice, or basketball practice, I'd come home, and sure enough, on the countertop, every single time, there'd be a what? A list. And mom would expect what? The list to be done. But what she didn't realize is that my brother usually needed beating before all that could happen. And so we would get in fights, argued, not get things done, go out and pick on things and shoot chickens and BB guns and things like that. But the list, and I'll have to tell you, much to my shame and my mother's frustration, I rarely completed the list. Rarely did. That poor woman, I don't know how she survived. We had the 50th anniversary for my parents not long ago, and all my relatives, when my brothers and I were giving a testimony about our childhood, they said, we never knew that went on. They're talking about raising three boys on a farm. Now, my mom got frustrated. I know about that list. I've been told by people this before. Well, you're on my list. What do you think about when people tell that to you? It's not a good list, is it? You're top of my list. It usually means you're a reject to them. They don't like you, don't want anything to do with you, and they don't want to be around you. Now, you probably don't do this maybe on a physical piece of paper, but I bet you do this, that when you get out of bed, the first thing you likely go through in your mind is what? A list of things to do, right? And so throughout your day, you're thinking what? The list. And you may not write them down. Some people write them down. Glory to you. But I don't always write it down. But at the end of the day, when I'm about to shut down for the day, guess what I review? The list in my head. And I determine my success or failure in the day based on what? The list. The mental list I have in my head. Now listen, lists aren't always the best thing. I've just described to you several negative things about lists. And I think that's true. Lists can be very negative. And most of the time we keep a very short list on a lot of things to our own condemnation. We condemn ourselves based on the list that we have or haven't got done on the list. But I want to share with you something. Can lists be okay, you think? You think lists can be positive? I think they can be. And for a girl named Rena Fender, a list literally became a lifesaver. A list literally became a lifesaver. She was a little girl, and she found herself on a list that in all reality saved her life. You see, this little girl, Rena, worked for a guy who owned a factory that made enamelware and also made ammunition. Now, enamelware, you remember those pots that your mom used to have? Those pots that were surrounding that white enamel around it, had an orange rim, a red rim around it. That's enamel, okay, enamelware. She worked in this factory for this man. Now, Rena was a Jew. And the year was 1944. And Rena was one of those people who was picked on by what country? Specifically, the party of that country, which was the Nazis. She was stripped of her humanity, and most Jewish people in that day were killed and or forced into hard labor by the Nazis. She just happened to be working for a guy named Oscar Schindler. And Oscar had to move his factory because the Red Army, the Communist Army, was getting close to his factory. And so Rena, having already been working for Oscar for 2 years now, was going to move with the factory to the new location. However, in order to go to the new factory, you had to be on the list. And so as she did this, the men and women were separated in different camps. They were processed and inspected differently by the Nazis. The men were sent to the Gross-Rosen camp, and the women were sent to Auschwitz. And Rena said that as a little girl, when she got off the train in Auschwitz, that her and her mother were so thirsty that they would hope to open up their mouth and catch the snowflakes falling from the sky, only to realize that when the snowflake hit their tongue, it was not snow. It was the ashes of those Jews being burned at Auschwitz. A terrible, terrible predicament that Rena and her mother found herself in. And so Rena and her mother were stripped, they were inspected, and placed naked in a shower room. You probably remember those shower room scenes from years ago. And those shower room scenes from years ago, in which the shower heads have one or two things, a Z gas or water. And Rena and her mother that day happened to be getting a shower. And their life was spared. Their life was spared because they were on a list. Remember that list? It was called Schindler's List. And last year was the 25th anniversary of the release of that movie. So, friends, if I can share with you something, Rena and her mother and the over 1,000 people that World War II setting and Oscar Schindler's List, 1,098 to be exact, Jews were saved because they were saved from the fires of Auschwitz because their name was on the list. Their name was on the list. And so today we're going to face a list together. You and I are going to face a list together. And this list is going to seem very negative to some of you. And it's not going to be very positive at all in a lot of ways, but it's as very positive in a proper perspective. You think Rena's list was negative? You bet it was. But was it positive? You bet it was. She made the list. Now today, as we go through a list of scriptures, I want to share with you something. That as you and I go through this list, it's likely that you and I are going to find yourselves on the list. But the list can be a positive list for us because it's an opportunity to save our lives not from the flames of Auschwitz, but the flames of where? Hell. You see, friends, that's what it boils down to at our destination is, are we making the list that gets us to heaven where Jesus is? And sometimes we're given a list in scriptures to help us understand, I need to be saved from this list so I can avoid those flames, so I can enjoy the abundance of heaven. So I want to share with you something. As you go to Galatians 5 with me, go to Galatians 5, that I want to encourage you that as we go through this list, and if you find yourself on the list, repent to Jesus, trust the Holy Spirit, and repent to Jesus. That's what we got to do. So Galatians 5, 17 and 18, okay? This is what the Bible says. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, last week we spoke about that. We spoke about how sometimes we have anxiety in our life and there's conflict between the Holy Spirit and what our flesh wants. And where does that conflict occur? In your heart. And so if you have anxiety going on in your heart, it's time to start figuring out, okay, what's going on inside me that's conflicting with the Holy Spirit? Now, we're able to trace that reality to the fact that the Holy Spirit dwells where? In our hearts. Okay? Now, Paul says something interesting also in Galatians 5, verse 18. Paul says that if you are led by the Spirit, you are not led by the law. So what does that mean? We described that last week as, how do I walk by the Spirit? Well, remember, the law does one thing well. The law only ever points out what? Wrong. That's what the law does. Only ever points out wrong. And so the law will only ever tell you what you're doing is wrong, and the law will always tell you the consequences you're going to face. But listen, as Christians, we're not under the law. We're led by who? The Holy Spirit. So listen to that. This, as the Holy Spirit leads our heart in everyday life, we will sin less against God and others. It's not that you're sinless. It's that you sin less against God and others. And hopefully, as the older you and I get, and the more time we get in the Word and the Scripture around God's people, we'll sin less. But we're not sinless, we'll sin less. So here's a $1 million question. How can I know I'm being led by the Spirit? How can I know that? Well, we got to study the scriptures. And so we're going to study a list. And this is why a list is so valuable, because this list helps us understand if we're being led by the Spirit. Remember, if you've made the list that we're talking about today, you can repent, trust the Holy Spirit, and turn to Jesus. You can do that. But of course, the opposite is that if we don't repent, we face the very flames that those people faced at Auschwitz, the flames of hell. And so I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you this. An aspect of the list, and this is very important for us, because we're not about a religion here, folks. This is not a religion. This is about a love. And as I look through this list, I can find some places in my life where I have been, and I can find some places in my life where I can easily go once more, and sometimes where I can try to dabble again. But I want to share with you something. As my heart is being led by the Spirit, okay, as my heart's being led by the Spirit, my goal is not to avoid the list, but to love Jesus. You see the difference? My goal is not to avoid the list, but to love Jesus. And here's what I mean. My avoidance of sin is not based on a list, but a love for Jesus. If I go about keeping lists, guess what I'm doing? I'm keeping a list. Am I loving? I'm not loving. The reason I want to avoid sin is because I have a love for Jesus. It's because I have a love for Jesus. So just the same, there are times we stop listening to the Spirit. We've all done this. And when we compromise, I don't like the word compromise because it means I lose, you lose. We compromise our faith. And here's what happens. When we stop listening to the Spirit, we compromise our faith. And we also compromise our love for Jesus. This is why the list is so important. The list helps us see where we've compromised. The list helps us see that we can actually have our life saved by looking at the list. Okay, Galatians 5:19. Here it is. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Folks, here's your signs coming up. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Paul says if you're living out the flesh, Paul says if you're living out the desires of your flesh, you're going to behave it. You're going to behave it. This is nothing judgmental. It's a no-brainer. If you're living out the flesh, you're going to behave what you believe. And if you believe, you must satisfy your own desires, you are going to behave it. And that's why, again, the list is so important for us. Maybe you're behaving these things, and it's time to understand where you need to be. So here are the signs to determine if you are being led by the Holy Spirit or not. Galatians 5:19 says this, the first word. The acts of flesh are obvious. Number one, sexual immorality. Now, as you look at the screen, sexual immorality, next click there, Sharon, you'll see that the root word for sexual immorality is porneia. Anybody know what that word's familiar with? Okay? I want to share with you something. This is a challenging topic for people in the church because not always do we know how to handle sexual morality, but it's the first thing on the list. You know what the first problem is in the church for lots of churches? Lots of Christians? Sexual morality. So Karen, just go through the screen there, and you're also going to see it on your bulletin as well. Let's just summarize sexual morality in one clear phrase, okay? God's definition of sex is intercourse between man and woman in the context of marriage, period. And you can see there's a lot of words there behind me on the screen. There's some words there that people try to find the line. And our Tuesday morning guys talked about this, is that sometimes as Christian people, we try to define the line where God is. So I can just say on that line or not be on that line. And God had to spell out some very specific words for sexual immorality. But understand something, Jesus raised the bar. Jesus says, not only should you not do it physically, where else should you not do it, men and women? In your mind or your heart. So if you're perceiving sexual thoughts in your mind and heart, you're also sinning against God. So again, just by definition, sexual contact, God has designed between man and woman in the context of marriage. That's how he designed it. Second thing is this, impurity. Impurity. As you look at impurity, the Greek word that William Barclay has is the pus of an unclean wound. That just sounds gross. That reminds me as a kid when he was working with hogs and they got a boil on them. Gross. Okay, it's just gross. It's an uncleanness in your life, and it covers a wide range of things, both sexual deeds and thought. Gareth Reese talks about it means you have impure motives, impure thoughts, impure lustful greediness towards money and stuff. It also means impurity. Barclay says impurity then is that which makes a man unfit to become before God. The soiling of life with the things which separate us from God, That's impurity. The next one is what we call sensuality or debauchery. Okay. Now, if you look at the Greek word context here, the Greek word is, and I'm not good with my Greek, so it's asologia. It's very similar to this word here, and some of you medical people recognize that word. What's that look like to you, medical people? Analgesic. Okay. Analgesic means to be without feeling. This would mean to have full feeling. In other words, these type of people who live for sensuality, they give in to all their feelings. If it feels good, do it. That's what they're thinking. They want all of it. They want all of it. And so that's unbridled lust. Keep going there, Sharon. It's excess, licentiousness, lasciviousness, wantonness, outrageousness, and shamelessness. And then finally, one more, insolence. These are the type of people who live so sensually, they don't care what the rest of the world says. They want to feel good, and they're going to do it. It didn't take long to peruse Facebook and Snapchat, and you'll see it. Because they don't care. They want everybody to know they're having a good time. They're just living for the moment. The next one is idolatry. Idolatry, that is the worship of a false god. And it's a false god because there's lots of promises but never delivered. That's what a false god is. Lots of promises but never delivered. Barclay says it is a sin in which material things have taken the place of God. If you have an iPhone, iPhone has done something recently with their iOS updates. At the end of the week, they'll tell you how much what? How much screen time you got on your phone. It's kind of a little thing in our family. How much screen time did you get this week? I'm almost certain if you tracked your screen time, it would shock you how much you're on this little device. Because by all means and purposes, if you look at people, we are more bowed down to this than we are to him. I'll keep going. The next one is sorcery and witchcraft. That is in Galatians 5:20. And it says idolatry and witchcraft. Now, it's a unique word, witchcraft, because if you look at the word witchcraft, it has a root word, Greek word that reminds you of what? What is it?
Pharmacy.
The reason is because as you consider the witchcraft, if you go to the next screen, that next point there, it's the use or the administration of drugs, poisoning, sorcery, magical arts, often found in connection with idolatry and fostered by it. In that day and age, when any type of sorcery or witchcraft, you take some type of illicit drug for a mood change, a mood effect. And we're getting that more and more. In our culture, it's become very obvious. People want to do mood-changing drugs. It's across the board. States have legalized, for example, marijuana, just so you can encourage you to have a mood-altering drug. That's a tie-in to. It's a gateway drug. All sorts of, think about the opioid epidemic right now. Millions upon millions of people are opioid epidemics. I talked to a pharmacist this week, in fact, and she says, help me ladies, you nurses in the crowd, naloxone? Naloxone is a nasal drug that you can now give without prescription. It offsets opioids. So when people OD on opioids and they shut down the respiratory system, you can now give naloxone in their nasal way and it reverses the effect of the opioid and they come back. It's rampant. It's rampant. The next one is enmity, hatred. Enmity or hatred. This is a person who is openly hostile towards another person. And we're not talking about your two-year-old. Somebody else. They're openly hostile towards you. That's enmity, hatred. We'll keep reading in Galatians 5, verse 20. Strife or discord. This is a type of bickering. Particularly, Paul's talking about bickering within the church in which you have church troubles and people take opposite sides on a certain situation. They're not different convictions. They just have different dislikes. They may not like the color of the carpet, so that side, they won't go to church there because of lack of the carpet. It's not convictions, it's actual dislikes they don't like. And strife means you more than don't like another person for whatever reason you deem, you will cause trouble for them and others if they don't agree with you because you don't like them. That's strife and discord. The next word is jealousy. Jealousy. You'll probably recognize the root word of jealousy. What does this look like to you? Zealous. It looks like zealousness, okay? And so jealousy means that you're actually, to be sure, jealous means you look at someone else's stuff and you want what they have to advance yourself above them. It's a comparative quality. You don't like what they have, and so you want to have more than they have, and so it means you're zealous about it. You want what they have, and even more so above them. The next one is this, outburst of anger or fits of rage. If you've ever had hogs, you've experienced this. Okay? Or small children, that sometimes fits the bill too. But really, seriously, it's a sin that God is quite concerned about. It's the anger that boils up inside you and quickly dissipates. I mean, you're just so mad, so fast, and then bang, you're down. But it's a passionate angry in which you have rushed along by your anger and you breathe violently. We all can remember times of when you were working with your mate, ladies, or your husband, or maybe your dad, guys or gals, your dad, and they're just really mad and upset, and then they quickly dissipate. That's the type of anger and rage that God says, sorry, that can't happen. The next one is this, disputes or selfish ambition. Now, this describes a man or woman who wants an office. They want an office in the church, likely, or anywhere else for that matter, but we're talking about church matters here. And they're not from any motives of service, but they simply want the office for what they can get out of it. That's what William Barclay says, okay? Now, as you consider that, what that means is they are willing, one more click there, they're willing to cause disputes. They're willing to do that. They're willing to cause disputes based on what they want for themselves and their self-centered ambition. They're willing to cause disputes, okay? The next one is factions. Now, it's very, dissensions. All right, sorry, jumping ahead. So dissensions, the Greek word literally means division. Division, okay? Now, as you look at the word, these are people in the church who let their selfish ambition create groups within the church. This group here believes this, this group here believes this, this group here believes this. And we've seen that in the Galatian church. We have the Jewish Christians over here, and then you have Christians over here who say, wait a minute, we don't need to follow Moses, we need to follow Jesus. Now we're getting to factions, okay? Factions, it said we're in Galatians 5:20, and this is a choosing of sides in the church over different beliefs on a matter. And they form different sects, if you will, S-E-C-T-S, sects, much like denominations have formed in our country. And Barclay says this is what happens. He says the tragedy of life is that people who hold different views very often finish up by disliking not each other's views, but each other. I can disagree with you and still love you as a Christian, but faction people don't do that. Faction people say, if I disagree with you, I'm just not going to like you. I'm not going to love you. And so it should be possible, Barclay goes on to say, it should be possible to differ with a man and yet remain friends. Right? In fact, I know it was possible. The next one is envy. Envy. Now, this is an embittered person who's more than jealous of a person, but this person wants to deprive the other person what they have. Not only do I want you not to have what you have, I want you to see completely poor of it. Okay? Envy is really a really... a word in which the person is grieved to see or embittered to see another person happy. Let me rephrase that. They are too embittered to be happy for another person's success. In other words, if someone starts doing well in life and you see them doing it, rather than be happy for them, you're ugly about it. You're ugly about it. You can't say, oh, what? Oh. But instead you're like, oh, I'm glad you got to do that. That's good. Okay. Drunkenness. Drunkenness is the next one. I think we're in verse 21 now. Drunkenness. Now, if you look at the root word for the Greek for drunkenness, what is that? What is it? Math. And we all heard of math, right? Okay. Well, we coined terms in our culture as don't be a math head. Well, guess what the root word for drunkenness is? Math. Okay. Math. Just ask a basic question. How many productive, good, and godly decisions that glorify God have been made while being drunk? Any? No. None. I can see why it would be meth. So the last one we're going to talk about is carousing. and then orgies. And then the thought there is that this is a type of gathering that involves a group of people who are drinking, and finally by the end of their drinking binge, it turns into a very lasciviousness type of sexual behavior with one another. Not a good scene. Now, the next one is pretty important for us to consider, Galatians 5:21. We're going to go there some more. 5:21, it's going to be on your screen. Paul says this in one text, he says this. He says, things like these. Well, what things? We just went through the list. So things like these, Paul says, I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What does that mean to you, church? You're not going to heaven if you practice those things. Okay? The next part of the side of the screen is another translation. Paul says, I warn you. I'm glad he's warning us, because when I first became a Christian at 28, I saw this list. I was prone to fits of rage. I mean, just prone to it. And I can remember our first revival there at Blue Ridge Christian Church in Columbia, Missouri. I just said, I've got to quit this. I know it's wrong. And so I had to go forward in my church. I didn't have to. I wanted to. I went forward to church in that revival time, and I confessed my sin of fits of rage. And I've been on a walk away from rage towards Jesus ever since. Ever since. And so I'm still walking towards Jesus. Do I still have temptations for anger? Well, who doesn't? But I'm still walking towards Jesus. And so Paul says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is so powerful for us. Stop living this way. Stop practicing these things. You know, practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanence. If you're practicing these things, stop practicing. Stop it. That's what we do. We stop practicing. So how do we do this? How do we get off the list? I mean, this is very important. I love the image here. It's a ladder getting out of the pit. If you're in the list, you're in a pit. That's just the way it is. Okay, if you're on the list, you're in the pit. I want to get out. Anybody else want to get out if you're in the pit? Okay, a few of us want to get out. Great. I'm going to go there with you. Here we go. Number one is this: repent. Repent. Now, I'm not a tactician as far as being in the British Army, but I heard this years ago, that in the British Army, when they march, they go, hut, two, three, four, repent. What did I just do? I turned the other way. Look, if you are living out of a trash can, okay, if you are living out of a trash can and you're on the list, right? You're on the list, right? You're living out of a trash can. I'm telling you, repent is not so much turning away from the trash can, but turning towards who? It's turning towards Jesus. As I turn towards Jesus, I'm naturally repenting from my trash. You see that? The Lord says, in repentance and rest, you will be saved. Folks, give yourselves a rest. How much does this satisfy you? Why do we keep going back to it? It doesn't make any sense. I'm tired of that life. Turn to Jesus. Okay, Jesus, I'm coming to you. But I want to go back. I know you do, Jeff. Keep walking towards me. But I want to go back. I know you do, Jeff. Keep walking. I keep walking towards Jesus. I'm turning away from my sin by turning towards who? Jesus. The second thing is this: confess. We have this mindset that if we confess our sin, people think, what about us? Who cares? If you're in heaven, will you care what people think about you? No, because there's only one you need to care about who thinks about you. What's his name? His name is Jesus. So here's a thought. Let's read this together. Ready? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is a twofold verse. It's a wonderful thought here. Jesus, I really have a problem with anger. I sin in my anger. Okay, Jeff, I hear you say that. Repent to me. I'm repenting to you. And as I look at the text, it says, I'm forgiven of my sin. Everything I've ever done angry, what happens to it? It's gone, forgiven. I look at the verse again. It says it cleanses me from all unrighteousness. That means that my unrighteousness, I want to sin in my anger. And so as Jesus cleanses me, I no longer have a desire to sin. How? In my anger. You can use the same thing for you. What do you have a problem with? Don't say it out loud. You know it's in your heart there already. You got a problem with something. Confess it and God will cleanse you from it. Oh, I can handle that. As long as I don't talk to anybody else about it. Okay, next screen. Be accountable. Why do you think you go to church? It's not because of the snacks. You go to church to be accountable. When I show up in church with you and you show up in church with me, we're all in this thing together called life, and we're accountable. Because look at this verse here, and look at what James says, James 5:16. Let's read this together. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Now, I've often wondered, why do we put that together? Well, some of you confess to the wrong people. You see, what we do is we have a sin in our life. We go, let's see, I bet I can find somebody to talk to about my sin. And you go to Joe Schmo or Jilly Billy, whatever her name is, and you find they have the same problem. They go, oh, I got the same problem too. Let's just be in it together. That's the wrong person to confess your sin to. What type of person should you be talking to? A righteous person, because a righteous person will do what with you? The what? Keep you accountable and do what? They'll pray. If you have sin in your life, and you do, Christian, that's why we're Christians. We've acknowledged our sin. If you have sin in your life, find someone who's a good and godly person who lives out righteous fruit in their life, and you have that person pray for you. Because if you go to anybody else other than a righteous person, they're not going to pray for you. They're going to gossip with you and help you join in on it. They're going to pray with you and say, hey, look, I've been through it too. We're going to get through it together, and we're going to whoop this thing. We can do it. And we're going to pray about it and ask our God to come in our life. You got to own your sin, and you got to own it with other people in your life. And I want to share the final thought is this. Know your desires. Know your desires. It's not on the screen. I'm just saying out to you, know your desires. You've got to figure out what your desires are. And the reason you're sinning is because you're thinking you can meet your desires on your own. Can't happen. I only know one person that can fulfill your desires, and you're not married to them, and they're not in the lot. It's God. So here's a thought. If you are in one of these 15 places that you've mentioned today, and the list is in your bulletin insert, great opportunity to take this home. As you look at this last screen here, you got to own it, guys and gals. You got to own it. You got to take admission for your sin, repent from it, confess it, and then confess it to another one. And so here's what we're going to do. You're going to have the opportunity to do that in just a moment. Here's what I mean. We're going to sing a song that talks about the weightiness of sin and what to do about our sin. And then at the 3-minute mark, I'm going to have Karen and Jeff turn down the radio down there a little bit and let it play softly in the background. And that's when you're going to take an opportunity to connect with Jesus Christ in that song with that prayer. We'll finish that song out, and then we're going to have our time with our deacons. So I want to pray with you before we start this song. And then again, at the 3-minute mark, you're going to have that opportunity to look at that text there or in your bulletin to talk to Jesus about what you got going on. Lord, we love you. We thank you for a list. This list can be convicting, and if we let it, Lord, can be condemning. But you said there's no longer any condemnation in our life because of you. And so, Lord, we repent. We confess our sin to you. We confess our sin to another Christian, a good and godly, righteous person that'll help us escape our sin and turn to you, Lord, from these things. We love you so and pray this in your name. Amen.
Have you come to the end of yourself?
Encourage you, if you were one of those people today that really connect with the Lord and have the conviction that you want to talk to someone about some sin in your life, don't stop. I think Yui just set the tone for us today in this community meditation. Today is the day to do that. I know my wife's available if you're a woman here to want to talk to another woman. Elaine's here, Kay's here. I'm sure Deb would talk to another gal if someone would want to talk to him. Vernon will leave on a call apparently, but Yui and I are here. We'd be glad to talk with you about some of those things in your life that could be troubling you. Hey, today we're going to move into our deacon ordination time. And so if I can ask Derek and Jason and